In case you haven't heard about fanfiction yet, fanfiction is literature that is created by fans for fans without a commercial interest in mind. And so usually when we talk about fanfiction, two of these aspects come at the forefront: intertextuality and community. And you can define these types of intertextuality with different levels of aggression, I would say, because Henry Jenkins famously called fanfiction writers textual poachers. And then you can also say, well, they just use copyrighted material, or they develop already existing root texts. And Abigail Dereco, for example, says that they are writing archontic literature, which describes this intertextual relationship more softly and without being so hierarchical, like if you use the words derivative or appropriative literature. And of course, then again, we immediately come to the community. So fan texts are created within a community and often for the community. But then in the next sentence, usually you will read about the quantity. There is a lot of fan fiction out there. And this is also the reason, according to some scholars, for example, Francesca Coppa, that why fan fiction hasn't been picked up by literary studies yet, because there's just too much of it and it's hard to focus on one thing in particular. And she actually composed a fan fiction reader with sample fan fictions to provide some baseline for research. And she writes about it, it's there in the corner, about this book. She writes, "The most perverse thing about this book is that I'm giving you one Pringle, one Dorito, and one Oreo. A single nacho, one pretzel nugget, a tiny little Tester teaspoon of ice cream, one pita triangle worth of hummus." Then she, of course, says that you're not supposed to eat just one Dorito, and goes on to say that the experience of fandom, especially in the age of the internet, is one of binge reading. Most new fans, upon discovering it, gobble it down. And even in the 1990s, so this is digital fandom, but even in the 1990s, Camille Bacon Smith wrote that first experiences of fandom are measured in inches or stacks rather than in titles. And this is when you had to acquire fandoms via zines through that are somehow redistributed to you. So we have these three aspects: intertextuality, community, and quantity. And why I find this important in the context of the social system of literature and digital methods is because we all know that there is this triad of author, reader, and text. And of course, we also know that there are other key forces, like archival institutions, or publishers, or libraries, who all deal with canonization. And Heidebrand and Winko describe this entire social subsystem with its actions and institution, the social system of literature. And some even say that literary history focuses on either the author, or the reader, or the text in different periods of its existence. And I think that now, when we are talking about digital social reading so much, we can say that today literary history would do well while focusing on the social system of literature altogether. And what better way to do this than with digital methods? So we have different processes in place, the role of the author changes, we have different financing models, and traditional publishing has to ease up because authors can now distribute their texts differently, maybe through social media. Then we see that there are different models of authorship. We are used to the single author because this is something that has been established through copyright since the 19th century, but now other models of authorship are resurfacing within digital spaces, for example. At the same time, for fan fiction authors, it is quite hard to distance themselves from these older authorship models, and this is why many fan fictions are start with the paratext of how people are not going to use these the characters for any kind of financial gain, to as a safeguard against copyright claims. And so we see that fan fiction is actually neatly fits into this history of authorship and into literary history as well. So, in order to look at the social system of literature, what I'm coming to you with is a relational corpus from the website fanfiction.de. Fanfiction.de is a German-speaking fanfiction website, which exists since 2004, and it hosts both fanfictions and what is known as free works, like original works. Today it covers over 1,400 fandoms and over 400,000 texts. It also has around 60, the corpus I'm working with has around 67,000 texts by over 22,000 authors. Initially, the idea was developed at the University of Darmstadt, where we thought it would be great to capture fanfiction production during COVID. And we were thinking, of course, we will gather the data over a few months, and then the pandemic will be over, and we can go on with our analysis. Well, the data collection continued until 2024, and now the corpus is accessible on request. And there's also a range of metadata available on the authors and on the texts. So what do we know from this metadata? We know that fanfiction.de attracts significantly more female users than male ones. In fact, women make up 64% of the authors, while men account for only about 6.7%. Almost 27% of users don't specify their gender at all. And over the past 4 years, the number of authors that identify as diverse has grown by a third, which has to do with legislation. as you can see from the graphic, most authors are between 18 and 40 years old. These findings aren't particularly surprising, because we know that women have been dominating the fanzine subculture since the 1960s, beginning with Star Trek. And even in the 90s, it was approximated that those fans who write fan fiction are probably around 90% of them are women. Whatever male fans were doing, they were not writing texts. And scholarly literature on fanfiction connects this gender distribution to historical ideas of identificatory reading, or to the higher, the more complicated ways for women to enter the literary field. So what we also have within this corpus is relational data. So there are reviews to more than 51,000 texts, and the metadata on the stories and their protagonists. So this review data can be used in various ways. We can either look at how user A has commented on this or that chapter of user B, but we also could build a network out of it. We can connect the users via their comments to stories. So the corpus includes texts, data on the authors, information about the text, such as genre and main characters, and relational data in the form of reviews, providing all the components of a digital social system of literature. So when we take a look at all the fandoms on fanfiction.de, you can probably guess what is going to be the most popular fandom there. It is Harry Potter. It is followed by several anime fandoms, such as Naruto and One Piece and My Hero Academia, and across various platforms, J.K. Rowling's books have captivated amateur authors, and at first glance, it seems that no other fandom can reach this. But let's keep in mind, although the dominance is really unmet, it is still only 18% of the overall content. In an initial paper, together with a former Darmstadt team, we focused on the Harry Potter fandom due to its dominance, and made some interesting discoveries. For example, there were slightly more male authors within the Harry Potter fandom, and they received slightly more reviews to their texts. But if we introduce network analysis into this, we can map and navigate our network of fan fictions and maybe filter out some of the texts a little bit better. So network analysis is a widely used approach based on the idea that real-world networks somehow share similarities. Brandes and Erlebach formulate it as follows: empirical networks representing diverse relations such as linkages among web pages, gene regulation in primitive organisms, sexual contacts among Swedes, or the power grid of the Western United States appear to have, maybe surprisingly, some statistical properties in common. So the idea is that the architecture of complex networks somehow is similar, and we can use statistical tools to analyze and explore these different structures. So either we can be looking at fanfiction communities or collections of texts or characters in novels. We can still, using network analysis, identify key actors and groups of entities that have certain similarities. So a network usually consists of nodes and edges, and usually we can see that, for example, user A or A has written some letters to B, and we may be interested in the content, but we may be also interested in all the neighbors of A and B, or the relationships among the neighbors and the neighbors of their neighbors. And while the content of the letters stays the same, there's a significant difference whether these letters are exchanged in a group where everybody talks to everybody, or whether they are connecting two groups of people that otherwise do not communicate. And we can also encode different information into these networks. We can say, oh, well, C wrote 10 letters to D, but D only replied once. And then we can assess the different network positions, who is more central, who has more connections, or who is connecting groups that otherwise would be not connected. And so when you can also look at different clusters of actors and consider that something will be in common. And in a previous project, I examined interactions on an online forum of World War II enthusiasts and military historians, and I could identify that when there were some sort of dense subgroups of communication on that forum, then these different subgroups were representing different practices of memory. Some were interested in artifacts, others were interested in visiting bunkers, and so on. And on the right, you can see the texts also group according to the narrative, according to first-person narrative. So much for networks. This is how a network of our corpus looks like. So this is fanfiction.de, and we can see that two users are connected by an edge if user A has written a review for a text by user B. And of course, we also have metadata on the networks, and this network is colored according to dense subgroups within the network. It consists of 47 communities ranging in size from 13 members to almost 4,000. And we have five largest clusters in the middle. These are approximately 40% of all users. So we can also map where do they interact within these subgroups using their metadata. And then these are, for example, all the subcommunities that deal with anime. And these are subcommunities that are somehow exchanging stories on Harry Potter. And here is Marvel and Star Trek. And probably if you already did something on fan fiction, you won't be surprised that Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey are grouped together because one used to be a fan fiction of the other. And this is all quite not really surprising, but this data-driven approach enables us to see communities that we wouldn't have seen otherwise. So we all expect that there will be some exchange on Harry Potter, but would we expect that the German series in A la Freundschaft und Bergretter also would have a very tight-knit and active community? I did not. Neither did I expect that German pseudo-documentary criminal series from the early 2000s were also constituting a quite active community on fanfiction.de. And so I could go on here, because there is also the medieval rock bands and fanfictions on Joko and Klaas and all sorts of things. But the next step here would be to look at how the interpretations of different texts within these sub-communities differ. And what I could see, and this is here we are coming to the changes that are happening within different stories. We have, for example, these two, the green cluster and the pink cluster, which are mostly dealing with Harry Potter. And what I noticed about them was that they have very, very different distributions of gender. So we remember there are only 6% of male authors on the website in general, but within the green cluster, there are suddenly 16% of male authors. And the pink cluster only has less than 1% of male authors. So probably there is something more to it when we are looking at these differences. And so we were talking yesterday during coffee about how when you engage in a certain method, it becomes a hammer with which you can then go to the next step and create a next network. Because the data on the main characters within these two groups of people who exchange their views on the stories is also available. And so what do we see here? We see the protagonists of the pink cluster, where mostly women are writing, and of the green cluster that has quite a lot of male authors in comparison to the whole website. So we see that the green cluster features Harry Potter as the main protagonist, and the pink cluster features Hermione Granger as the most central protagonist. However, their closest connections in both cases are to Severus Snape and Draco Malfoy. In the pink cluster, also quite interestingly, is McGonagall, who is connecting important characters from the canon, but that do not have any connection for Hermione or any relevance. Dumbledore or Voldemort are not very particularly interesting for Hermione, but they are connected via McGonagall. And so we could either argue that these are two different ways of continuing to write Harry Potter. Either we take in a feminist perspective and place Hermione in the center of the narrative. And some fanfictions do that, some do not. Then the other perspective is that Harry Potter is at the center and has more encounters with ambivalent characters. But it could also be that they are both used to tell more stories about Snape and Malfoy. And if we compare this data to data from other fanfiction portals, then we can see that Draco and Harry and Draco and Hermione are very, very common pairings. But Hermione and Snape and Harry and Snape are not that common. And I was wondering, this is data from Archive of Our Own, which is the largest, I don't need to explain, I think, is the largest fanfiction portal there is. And I was thinking maybe these are regional differences. Maybe this is something that German fans do and others do not. After all, the Wattpad paper by Pianzola and Rebora show that there are regional differences in naming conventions and so on. And then, and here I come to Middle Earth, I stumbled upon work on Vera Kutzleng, and she famously demonstrated that in fan fiction, fans tend to prefer younger characters in comparison to older ones. And this is not necessarily a regional question, but I decided to check her data on Middle Earth to the data from fanfiction.de, because of course we also have a Middle Earth cluster. And the Middle Earth cluster has around 1,600 readers and authors. Here I combine The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. There are no fanfictions on Silmarillion for some reason.
And it's right for it.
Absolutely. And it's approximately half of it. What I'm also interested in is how fandoms are combinated, because there is this idea by Henry Jenkins that we are all digital nomads and it's only natural to like different books and not just one. So here next to Middle Earth we have Merlin, which kind of is self-explanatory. It's also fantasy, it's also set somewhere in the past probably. But also interestingly, Karl May's Winnetou is also quite present there. And we can look at it in a little bit more detail. Here you see a model of this cluster in the form of a bimodal network. So we can browse and explore the community using network characteristics. So we can take a look at what is the most central text, and then just navigate our reading, and we don't have the problem that there is too much fanfiction to even start. The triangles are colored, the darker ones are Lord of the Rings, and the brighter ones are The Hobbit, and then Karl May and Merlin, and they are located at the center because it's so tightly knit, and then Karl May and Merlin are up there. Yeah, and what you see in the in Middle-earth fan fiction as well is that Hobbit lends itself more to classical fan fiction production. So this is a very, very common way, very common distribution of genres. It's a love story and then a little bit of drama, but also family and romance again, because there are two labels of romance in German and in English. I still haven't understood how they are differentiated. And there is also the classical fanfiction genre, the hurt comfort genre, which means that this is a type of story where one protagonist gets injured and is nurtured back into health, and is a very common trope in fan fiction. But in Lord of the Rings, you have a very different situation. You have adventure and drama and fantasy and no romance at all. So it sounds to me as if The Hobbit would Hobbit writers would stick more to fanish kinds of productions, whereas Lord of the Rings fans are more stuck to the original. And I did not annotate the occurrences by the books, and this is based on the German original, because the fanfictions are of course also in German. And we can see that users on fanfiction.de much prefer to use the story world of Tolkien rather than the original characters. So on the left you can see the top 10 protagonists, which is basically the Fellowship. And the middle table demonstrates the same metric but shows the occurrences in the fanfiction corpus. While the right table demonstrates the number of main characters within the corpus. So people occur in fanfiction, but then also they use tags to navigate the reader experience. And what we see is that hobbits are on decline, and more of elves and humans are also used. When we compare this to AO3 data, we see very different preferences. Aragorn is more popular than Legolas, and Gandalf disappears from the list completely, which supports the argument that older characters are excluded in favor of more conventionally attractive ones. Although older in the context of Lord of the Rings is a whole different story. As is the case for a lot of fan fiction, the main tendency in the genre on AO3 is erotic in nature. So in the case of fanfiction.de, it seems that the character tags sort of work as mechanism of expectation management, and perhaps stories with the fan favorites like Legolas and Thranduil attract more attention from users. And the strong difference between these two platforms is an argument against this theory of a common fanfiction narrative, that fans sort of retell the story into one direction. And whether this is language, culture, or platform specific remains very much open-ended. And finally, when we look at the text of Lord of the Rings compared to the original, in a very simple contrastive analysis, I'll say a few words about that, you don't have to read it all, we can see that there are some differences between the two that demonstrate how, despite writing in the same genre, still means something quite different. In the list on the right, we have quite a few landscape descriptions, which Tolkien is quite known for. One or two character names, Frodo, who is not mentioned at all in the fanfictions for some reason, occurs within the original. And then we see, and this is why I love digital analyses, we see many, many, many references to light and darkness. And this is something that the list on the left, which is the list of preferred words of the fanfiction, doesn't pick up on at all. So on the list on the left, we have plenty of interactional verbs, more informal style, references to the body, lips, hair, shoulders, and so on. And then lots of narrative time references, which I'm also not sure what to do with. Somehow, this may be due to the fact that amateur writers need more telling than showing which comes when. Or maybe this is because the narrative in Lord of the Rings is a little bit more straightforward than here. But overall, it raises the question whether fanfiction has a style of its own. And in conclusion, we see that we have different interpretive communities, and they have different dynamics across platforms. They can be subversive, but they don't have to be. And then we have the digital paratexts that serve as a guiding mechanism for readers and shape their experiences. And finally, and my most important takeaway message is that with network models, you can definitely provide some structure to the reading experience and navigate the corpus much, much better. So that's all.